I just love this Christmas season, don't you? I like the music. I like the food. I really like the cookies. I love the movies. Who's excited about the new Star Wars movie coming out? Now, I want you to know, I'm going to stay in my lane right now. I have made some serious errors over the past few weeks. I confused Star Trek and Star Wars a few weeks ago. I beg you for your forgiveness. But that's not my grievous sin. It was 2 weeks ago that I stood here and I got Marvel and DC confused. I know, right? Some of you picked up stones and you're ready to throw them. I understand there's certain things you can't cross at Flat Creek, and apparently I just walked right over that line. But I'm excited about the movies. I love the movies. I love the trees. I love the gifts. I love the smells. I love the lights. Whether it's at Gaddy's or Callaway, I love it all. I love making memories with the family. I'm so excited my family's here today and this memory we have together this morning. I love making memories with family and pressing pause and reflecting on the years that have went by as well. But what I love most about Christmas, church family, is not the tinsel, toys, ribbon, or bows. What I love most about Christmas is the Christ of Christmas. Journey with me over 2,700 years ago. 7 centuries before Christ ever took human form, and see one of the most attractive names given to us in our entire Bible. The Christmas prophet Isaiah gives us a crowning name. He gives us a crowning name of Jesus. He gives us a calming name of Jesus. He gives us a very comforting name of Jesus. It is the name that gives us the ray of hope in a rather hopeless world. Only in Jesus do we find the lovely name that gives us comfort and joy. And it is this name, church family, Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. If you have your copy of God's Word, be finding your way to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 will be our text. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and allow me to set the table for us this morning. During the lifetime of Isaiah, Israel had once been a mighty people, a prosperous, affluent, powerful, a country to be reckoned with. But now Israel was in a moment of decline. The nation that was once strong was weakening due to its idolatry. Many were impressed by false religions. In the middle of all this, we have a word from the old gospel prophet himself. You can almost see him sigh with satisfaction as he looks into the distant future and he sees the Messiah. He sees the Savior who will come humbly. He will come as a child wrapped in frail human flesh. And I believe it was in that moment that the prophet Isaiah picked up his prophetic pen and he dipped it into inspired ink and he wrote these words that are right before us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Shar Shalom. If we were to stop and ask someone on the street today, what do you think the world needs? I believe rather quickly they would come up with this word. They need peace. We need peace between individuals. We need peace on the roads. Hey, you been over to 7454 lately? Am I preaching right now? Am I telling you the truth? We need peace on the roads. Wow. We need peace within families. We need peace between husband and wife, between parents and children, in-laws and outlaws. We need Peace. We need peace in our world. You know, I found in two different resources that I have, two different resources said this. In humanity's existence, there has been a total now of since we have been alive as human beings, only 286 years where there hasn't been war happening amongst humanity. Only 286 years. There's been no wars. I submit to you, apparently, peace in world history is that brief, glorious moment when everyone stands around reloading. It seems like we're always at war. Nations, parties. Hey, if we ask President Trump this week, what do you think the country needs? I would imagine he'd say rather quickly, we need peace. Peace is the great cry of our day. And today, I want you to see two things. I want you to see the source of peace, and I want you to see how you can experience peace. Now, in order to do this, I need to take us through. We need to travel through certain scriptures, various scriptures, and I want to demonstrate to you how Jesus is our Shar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. But it's important to note something about the Word of God. What we have in the Old Testament, when you read through the Old Testament, you will find that the Old Testament is predicting Jesus's coming. In the New Testament, what you'll find is they are presenting Jesus has come. The Old Testament cries out, someone is coming. In the New Testament, they say, someone has come. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he's predicting someone is coming. In the New Testament, particularly from the hand of Dr. Luke, that great physician, he presents to us Bethlehem's babe, who was presented as the invasion of Bethlehem's babe. And this is what he says. This is how he records it. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 through 14, listen to what the Word of God says. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The first thing I want you to note about the Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, is that peace was promised at his birth. The shepherds were keeping their sheep when all of a sudden the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There was so much brightness that they became extremely afraid. The angel told them, don't be afraid, because I have not come to scare you. I've come to deliver good news. But what is the good news? There's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not a mansion, but a manger. Not in a castle, but in a crib. Not in some stylish apartment. No, but in a stable. Here's the good news. Jesus was just as much the Son of Mary in his humanity as he is the Son of God in his deity. He was very God of very God, and he is very man of very man. Oh, listen to me this morning. He was the combination of the divine and the human. He needed to be man to die for our sins. But I submit to you this morning, he needed to be God in order to deliver us from our sin. Please hear me this morning. Jesus wasn't just a good man. Please hear me, church family, this morning. Jesus wasn't even just a godly man. No. Jesus was the God-man. And that cradle over 2,000 years ago held the Creator as God himself manifested himself into flesh. You see, what this season's all about is the virgin birth, and God being made flesh is absolutely necessary for your and I's salvation. Now, I need you to pay real close attention. Y'all listening well? Y'all listening real good? That doesn't mean I'm going to get done any faster, but I'm glad that you're just paying attention with me. God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the Garden of Eden. They sinned and they lost that dominion. Adam and Eve forfeited it. They gave it over to Satan. And rather than being servants of God, they became slaves to Satan. They infected the entire human race with sin. Our dominion was lost by man. And the only way it could ever be returned to us is by another man. Are you tracking with me? That other man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us here today is represented by two men, Adam or the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures declare in Adam, all die. And in Christ, all are made alive. Now, Jesus Christ is the last Adam. He was born of a virgin to undo what Adam messed up. Remember that song we used to sing in VBS? Sin messed everything up, everything up. So apart from the virgin birth, there's no hope for salvation. Well, how did he come to undo what Adam did? See, the Bible clearly tells us that the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that the soul that sins shall surely die. But the Bible also says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. You see, sin must be paid for. Sin must be atoned for. It must be atoned for by the shedding of blood. But the Bible says that God is spirit. John 4 tells us this. And since God is spirit, the great eternal I am cannot die. The great eternal I am cannot bleed. But this salvation that was lost by man, this dominion that was lost by man, and so it must be redeemed by man. But not just any man could die and shed his blood. This man must be a perfect sacrifice. He must be a perfect man. He must be a sinless man. And he also must be innocent. Now listen, we're all sons and daughters of Adam by birth. By birth we have a sin nature. And no son or daughter of Adam can qualify. Why? Because of Romans chapter 5 verse 12 that exists in our Bible. That says, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Miss Linda asked a question yesterday morning at Kids Day Out to the little kids. I want to ask to you, has anyone in the room never sinned before? Just raise your hand up. And it was at that precise moment, my daughter Sophie lifted her hand up with that Grinch grin and said, I'm one. And she correctly said, you just committed your sin then. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have come short to the glory of God. Listen to me. If Jesus Christ had been born as we were born, he would have been born the son of Adam. If he had been the son of Adam, he would have been a sinner. If he had been a sinner, he couldn't have been innocent. And if he hadn't been innocent, he couldn't have been anyone's substitute. Not mine, not yours, not anybody. But because God became a man on that starry night in Bethlehem, what a breathtaking thought it must have been. What a breathtaking sight it must have been when God took human flesh and form on. No Christmas light show anywhere could compare to what these shepherds saw on that night with those heavenly lit hillsides. Oh, what a sight that must have been. They believed what the angel said, and that this child was born for them. So they followed all the way to where Jesus was lying right there in Bethlehem with the promise that peace would come at his birth. But the second thing I want you to note is peace was promised during his life as well. even while he walked 33 years on this earth without ever sinning, he promised peace would come. For the Gospel of John records in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, listen to the word of God. These things I've spoken to you, Jesus says this, while being present with you, but a helper, a paraclete, one who comes alongside is what it means. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I said to you. Listen to the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, earlier in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus makes the promise to them in John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I pray that the Father, and he will send you another comforter. John chapter 14, 15, and 16, four times, Jesus makes reference that there's going to be a paraclete, there's going to be a comforter. Four times, he says in those chapters that he's going away, but he promises there's going to be a helper that comes, and that helper will grant us peace. Wait a second. Time out. The angel said this baby was coming to bring peace. Jesus said he's going to give peace. Why is there no peace? Why is there war? Why is there not peace on earth? Goodwill toward men. Maybe you're asking this morning, why don't I have peace? I've been thinking about this all week long, praying, wondering, talking to others. Several observations have come to my mind and my heart of why we don't have peace. I just want to give you a few. Maybe this is you this Christmas. Maybe it's because there's a peace, or there's a battle for peace in your heart, mind, and soul right now in one of these categories. We battle with circumstances that are completely out of our control. Maybe it is we don't have peace this morning because we're battling things that are beyond our control. What do you mean by that? Whenever you try to change the circumstances that you can't change, listen to me, you get frustrated, you lose your peace. And folks, there are some circumstances in our room right now that are out of our control. We think that we have control of a lot of things, but we really don't. When it comes down to it, and when something is out of our control, we try to grab a hold of it. We try to white-knuckle it, and we lose our peace in the process. You can't fix the situation. It's like the student who applied for their dream college, yet received that rejection letter. Or it's like the single adult who really wants to be married and find that right one, but hasn't found the right one. Or it's like the married couple who really wants to have a child who simply has not had their child. We battle about the circumstances that are uncontrollable. Secondly, maybe we're struggling. Maybe there's a battle of peace for those who seem to be unchangeable in our life. This is what I know, church family. The quickest way to lose your peace is try to change someone else. Am I telling you the truth right now? We're always trying to change other people. We're always trying to change other people. There's some people in our life right now, they probably do need some changing. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's a boss, a coworker, a friend. And so you've come up with this great personal improvement plan for their life. And they're just not accepting it. They're not cooperating with your personal improvement plan for their life. No matter how good it is, no matter how perfect it is, and you get frustrated and you lose your peace. Because we're always trying to fix someone else. Or maybe this morning we're battling with problems that are simply just unexplainable. See, life isn't fair. Things don't always go the way that we anticipated. Sometimes problems come into our life, make no sense whatsoever, and we're left to try to figure it out. We try to understand why the pain has come into our life, why the problem has hit. We get frustrated. We lose our peace because we don't understand. And many problems are just flat out unexplainable. But Jesus promised us he was coming to give a peace that passes all understanding, that his peace was different from the world's peace. And if we went around the room today, there would be testimony after testimony of how God has supplied peace that passes all understanding. Let me give you number three. Peace was promised at his death. not only just his birth, not during just his life that he was promising a different kind of peace, but even at Jesus' death, he promised peace. Let me ask you a question. Whose blood was in that babe at Bethlehem? It wasn't Mary's blood. How does a man prove that he is or isn't the father of a baby in a court setting? By a blood test. You see, the bloodline doesn't come through the mother, it'll come through the father. Whose blood was in that baby? It's God's blood. You say, wait a minute. Earlier you said God doesn't have blood. You said God is a spirit. That's right. Well, Pastor, if God is a spirit, that means that he doesn't have blood. He did when Jesus was here. You see, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this in our Bibles, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth, things in heaven," now watch this, "having made peace through the blood of his cross." Church family, the blood of God was circulating in that little baby in its mother's womb. Sinless blood, innocent blood, blood of God. That's why, church family, if you take out the virgin birth, you take away the hope of salvation. But God did come to this earth through the miracle of the manger, God in human flesh, that he might save mankind. It was on the cross that this serpent bruised the heel of Jesus, but it was through the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus that crushed the head of the serpent. Jesus took the sting out of death and the power out of sin. And we now know because of Christmas that the failure in the garden was fatal but not final. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 puts it this way: "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." Listen to me. Christ took out of the hand of the devil those one and only weapon which he could use to destroy you and I, the only valid weapon in which the devil has, the valid accusation that he has is that we are sinners, and without Christ, we are damned to eternity in hell. But when Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil by dying in our place, Satan loses all power. He loses the only weapon he could ever use. His fangs have been removed, the poison is gone, and all he can do is gum us, friends. All praise be to God. He's resurrected from the grave. Oh, listen, when Jesus died, I died. Oh, when he died, I died. It was me who was in that grave. When Jesus was buried, I was buried. My sins were put in the grave. Praise be to God. I don't have to be haunted by the ghost of guilt. That sin that was buried when Christ was buried, when Jesus came out of the grave, I came out with him. When Jesus ascended to the heavenlies, dear friends, I ascended to the heavenly of heavenlies with him, all because of his death, his burial, his resurrection. You see, Jesus is our Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He's the source of peace. But how can you experience the peace of Jesus this Christmas? And these next 2 points are just application for your life. I want to remind you of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, Jesus gives us a daily peace. There's a daily peace promise to his children. There's a daily peace promised to you, follower. There's a daily peace promised to you, child of God. Listen to what Corrie ten Boom said. "When I look at the world, I get distressed. When I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look to Jesus, I find rest." I think of the experience of the Apostle Paul, Acts 27, a two-week stint at sea in the midst of a raging storm in which all hope of survival seemed to be lost. Paul, without any glimmer of doubt, would say to his crewmen, listen to these words, "Be of good cheer, for I believe in God that it shall be even as it was told to me." Let the world as we know it fall apart, fall at the seams. But friend, let us choose to believe in God, to believe that He's in control, that He can do no wrong, that He will take care of His own. And in Him, we can say we find our rest. Lastly, this morning, Jesus gives us eternal peace, which is promised to those who believe. There's eternal peace promised to those who believe. See, Jesus wasn't born to become a model. He wasn't born to become a martyr. He wasn't born to become a minister. Jesus wasn't born to be a missionary. Jesus wasn't born to be a moralizer. Jesus wasn't born to be a miracle worker. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ was born to be a savior. He was born to be a savior. From his own words, his own declaration out of the Gospel of Luke, he says, he came to seek and save that which is lost. His saving name was ready for him as soon as he was born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, God is holy. He cannot gloss over sin. He is just and sin must be punished. How could he show that he's love and just at the same time? Only through the death of his son. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, took our sins on himself and bore our punishment. He died just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He saves from the power of sin. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This morning, dear friend, if you don't know the source of peace, the Shar Shalom, the Bible declares you're at war with God. The Bible declares that you're an enemy right now of God. But this is the good news, that God loves you, that he would robe himself with flesh, that he would die in your place on a cross, go to your grave, resurrect out of that grave, and be victorious over your sin, to be victorious over hell, and dear friends, to save you from the future wrath of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Listen to these next few words. For he himself is our peace. You're looking for peace this Christmas? It's wrapped up in Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. These next few moments could be life-changing, eternal-changing for some of you in the room. You need to make a choice. And I see three choices that you can make. One is receive the Prince of Peace plan. You see, we're given a free will. Why is there evil in the world? I know that's quickly where we jump to, but dear friends, it's because God has given us free will to choose to love him, to choose to reject him, to choose to do evil. But God has created us that we could choose. And I submit this morning, and I beg you this morning to choose to surrender to the Prince of Peace plan and receive him as Lord. But what about those times when things have come into our lives that we didn't cause, the pain, the hurt, the problem, the evil, of which we did experience. Isaiah says this from our text in the beginning, that he's a mighty God, which means he's all powerful, that he's in control, that he is all powerful. He's not just some kind of kindly grandfather in the sky who's really nice and caring and would like to help you out, but he is a mighty God. He's all powerful. That means that even though he's a good God, he doesn't cause evil. He doesn't bring bad things to happen in your life, although there are times when bad and pain and tragedy and heartache and evil come into our lives. In those times, that's when I say with you, that doesn't make sense, God. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why you allowed that. I don't know why you didn't do that, but I don't understand why you allowed that. You could have stopped that. I don't understand. I know there are many of you asking this question, and we're always asking the question, why God? Why God? Why God? We think that God owes us an explanation, but what I want to submit to you right now is what we really need is an answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ in his presence, in his supernatural peace, in the middle of the pain that cannot be explained, that it seems like it is not human, it seems like it is not fragile or fleeting. Dear friends, he provides this peace that is beyond all understanding, and it's not based on our circumstances. It's supernatural. It's all-surpassing peace of God. I beg you this morning to receive his peace plan. Number two, you have the option to surrender. Surrender to the Prince of Peace control. Now, we don't like that word, surrender. Born, raised, Americans don't like that word, surrender. We fight. I don't like to surrender. Do you like to surrender? No. So when we hear a word like we need to surrender, immediately we think, no, that's no, wait a second. I've been told never give up. Come on, take it, bring it. It's not going to happen. We don't like to wave the white flag of surrender, but what we like is the silver bullet. I don't like the white flag of surrender. I like the silver bullet. We don't look for the white flag of surrender. We're always looking for the silver bullet that can fix any problem. One little technique. Hey, there's books after books after books written on productivity for your life. You can go right now and you can download app after app about how to make your life easier. But the one thing the scripture continually reminds us is it's not the silver bullet, it's surrender. It's waving the white flag. That's God's peace plan for you. So I don't know what kind of decisions I need to make here in these next few days. What I want to submit to you, take the white flag of surrender and wave it real highly and just call upon the name, Wonderful Counselor. So I got a problem that exists in my life and I need a mighty miracle to show up. Take out the white flag of surrender and start waving around and say, I need a mighty God. Say, oh, Pastor Josh, there's been something. I'm really wrestling with my identity. I'm really wrestling with who I am. You take out that white flag of surrender and you bow your knee and bend your heart right before the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, I need an everlasting Father. This Christmas, you say, I have no peace in my life. I'm so consumed with all these things. You take out that white flag of surrender and you call upon the Prince of Peace. You know what it really boils down to? Now, if you get finished before I do, you can just slip out. Because I'm not done yet. You know what it really boils down to? Why some of us don't have peace? It's about control. Can I speak into your life? You're wrestling God because it's all about who's in control. Isaiah 45 verse 9 says it in this way, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it and say, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? You know what all this boils down to? Why some of us don't have peace? Control. I want you to underline that word, argue. Some of you have the word striveth or strive, quarrel against your maker. We're trying to control things that only God can control. We're trying to control the shots in our lives, make the decisions, because we think we know better than God. We think we can do a better job of being God than God is doing. And we don't trust him. What if he messes everything up? And so we're at war with God over control. Whenever I start to worry, I realize I'm wrestling control with God. I'm not waving that white flag of surrender. I'm trying to wrestle the flag of defiance from God instead of waving the white flag of surrender to him and letting him take over. I beg of you this morning, surrender to God and you'll find peace. Let me give you this last one. It's only 35 minutes long, so you hang on. It's trust. Trust the Prince of Peace to provide for you. Receive his peace plan. Surrender control and trust him. Trust him. This means this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we really live. This is where we really worry about God's provision that he will take care of us. Can I just remind you of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Trust him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, what he's saying is where God guides, he will provide. God will meet your need. God says, I know your need before you even ask. Matthew 6 tells us that. From the lips of Jesus, he told us that. Allow the Prince of Peace, the Shar Shalom, to be the ruler of your life. The one who will meet your every need according to the riches of Christ Jesus. I'm asking you, sir. I'm asking you, ma'am. Today, will you receive the Prince of Peace plan? Today, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord? I said, Pastor Josh, I don't even know what to say. Well, you're in good timing because it's not about praying a perfect prayer. It's about praying to a perfect Jesus. This morning, we just simply surrender control, saying today, right there where you sit, if you never profess Jesus Christ as your Lord, to take you to heaven when you die, to live and reign and rule in your life, simply from your seat this morning, to God's heart, would you just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I'm trusting in your death, your burial, and your resurrection to redeem me, to bring me close to God by the shedding of your blood. Wash over my life. Forgive me. I repent of my sins and I trust you. I surrender. I'm turning my eyes to you, Jesus. Today I'm turning my eyes to you. This morning, that's your prayer. You've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved until this very moment. And today you're saying, Lord, I'm turning my eyes to you to be saved. If that's you in this room with every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip up your hand. I wouldn't dare call you out or embarrass you. I just want to thank God for you. I just want to praise him for what he's doing in your life. I imagine in a room just like this, there are many of us who need to do business with the Lord right now. Oh, we've been wrestling over control. When I said those words, I spoke those words, you immediately thought, that's me. Here's what I'm asking you to do. If you've been moved by God this morning, I submit to you, you need to move. An inward impression ought to lead to outward expression, or it will lead to spiritual depression. I firmly believe that. This morning, if you've been moved by God, we're going to stand and we're going to sing in just a moment. And I want you to come, and I just want you to do business with however the Lord has spoken to your heart today, whether that's making the decision to be baptized like Asher Tate was earlier, or maybe you want to make this church your church home. You come, and we'll celebrate with you. Maybe this morning you want to come, just let everybody know, today you profess that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. You come. Father, in these next few moments, I pray that you would move among your people. May we be obedient to however you've pressed on our hearts these next few moments. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray.